Welcome and welcome back, my well-being wombats. This is Well-Being in Your Wallet, the number one podcast for all your well-being and wombatting needs. We have an exciting guest episode ahead of us today, so I won't slow us down too much before jumping right into today's topic. But before I do that, let me introduce myself. I am Grant Gallagher, head of well-being here at Affinity Federal Credit Union. More importantly, my co-wombat in well-being is also here, and he once told me that he spent months catfishing her before he revealed himself to his now wife. It's Sean Lubitz. Sean, say hi to the folks.
Hello, everybody. Thank you, Grant. Not true, but yeah, appreciate the intros as always. For new listeners, my name is Sean Lubitz. I am the Vice President of Retail Branches here at Affinity Federal Credit Union. Very excited to be on this recording today. And again, the guest we have is very exciting. So I'm excited for everybody to hear.
Thank you, Sean. Always happy to have you join me. And then our special guest today is our one and only loss prevention manager, Veronica Perez. Veronica, why don't you share a little bit with our audience about yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you and welcome everyone to this episode. Happy to be here. As Grant said, I am the loss prevention manager here at Affinity Federal Credit Union. I do oversee fraud and investigations on cases. So we often do interact with members and, of course, our staff. I've been with the credit union for just shy of 9 years now. Really passionate about what we're going to talk about. Happy to interact with our membership and, of course, our staff each and every day. The more people I talk to, the better. So happy to be here.
Excellent. Well, very happy to have you. And just to clarify, Veronica's passionate about helping people resolve the fraud, not the fraud itself. So I just want to, you know, make that clear.
Good clarification. Thank you.
Before we jump right into it, let's start with an icebreaker. So, you know, I'll let you kick us off, Veronica, and then Sean, you can jump in. What's the most surprising place or situation where you've encountered a potential scam or, where have you seen unexpected fraud?
You know what? Just like a lot of our listeners, I am a fellow Swiftie. And unfortunately, this past summer, one of the things that we were seeing was a lot of scams on ticket resales for her concerts. And, you know, everyone's just trying to be there, be part of the excitement and the concert and be able to experience it. But, you know, unfortunately, where the resales were happening, it was just leading to a lot of scam ticket sales. They never existed, or they were upcharging them and only to find out that they were not legitimate checks at all, or I'm sorry, legitimate tickets at all.
Mm. Yeah. Sean, how about yourself?
Where I see it the most personally is I get a lot of phone calls every day. One that really stood out to me was a few years ago. I got a call from the U.S. government trying to give me a grant that I didn't apply for, or, you know, did not exist, but they wanted to give me money. It was extremely frustrating. They called the same number, called me back a ton of times, probably again trying to hope to legitimize it in my mind why they kept calling me. But very frustrating when your phone is constantly going off and you know it is people who are just trying to scam you out of your money.
That's pretty wild. Yeah. Mine is and actually surprisingly, there's apparently a lot of fake stuff on Amazon. And what happens is, like and this happens with some like Apple products like EarPods or AirPods or like SD cards. Because apparently what they do is they'll get all of their inventory from the different sellers and kind of put it in a big bin. And if somebody sends in their merchandise that's apparently fraudulent, it gets mixed in with all the legitimate stuff. And they don't spend a lot of time identifying what's fake versus not. And there's some really good fakes out there for a lot of the stuff. So I found out that you can in fact get some, fake Apple goods or SD cards off of Amazon, even though you're purchasing it, you know, officially from Amazon. It's the official, product. So apparently there's, you gotta be careful. You never know where there can in fact be a scam or fake merchandise. So, and I think that gives us a nice transition over to kind of highlight that scams, they're everywhere. When you're shopping online, I'm sure we've all gotten calls, texts, emails, social media. You really can't escape it. And, you know, personally, I haven't met a single person who does not know somebody in their life that has fallen victim to a scam or identity theft at some point. So it really is everywhere. I personally get scam text messages at least, you know, once a week. You know, the USPS keeps trying to contact me about my delivery exception from the UK. It's the craziest thing. And I think I see probably stuff on social media at about the same rate. You know, it's constantly there. But it's really important for our listeners to be able to thrive in their financial life, to know what to look out for, to be on the lookout, to know, you know, where those scams are potentially coming from or the ways that they can identify them. Because, you know, all it takes is falling victim once to really have a significant setback towards your goals. Because these will potentially impact your credit. It'll impact, you know, some of your savings, if not all of your savings. So really knowing how to identify scams and where to look and how to protect yourself is the best tool and the best way to protect yourself and your financial well-being. So with that, you know, I'll kick it over to you, Sean, to kick off our conversation.
Yeah, no, as we all share kind of, again, where we've seen scams, where we've been personally tried, you know, we've tried to be scammed out of our money or our information. The phone calls, as you know, it's been something that's happened for a very long time, right? Yeah. Scam phone calls. Obviously, when we talk about Amazon or text messaging, it's a little bit newer of scams that are coming through. But I guess my question, more for Veronica being the resident expert, is how have you seen scammers evolve over time? Are they trying different tactics than they used to? Is there anything of, you know, similar as far as characteristics of these scams also?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a lot of the same type of scam, just presented differently through technology. I always say that technology is our best friend, but if we're not careful or cautious in how we use it or what we receive through those channels, we may be setting ourselves up to be a victim of a scam or of a fraudster. You know, what I really do see as far as how technology has evolved and the internet has evolved, fraudsters have the ability now to hide behind a screen, potentially anywhere in the world. And in the same way, they're able to touch or reach out to potential victims all around the world. So the technology for them, not only are they able to stay a safe distance away, not have to interact with anyone or really convince someone by seeing them in flesh and blood, they're able to reach out through phone calls, manipulate what you see on your caller ID. You receive text messages, they can manipulate the message and also direct you to maybe fraudulent websites that appear to be legitimate, but really aren't. And so the best thing to keep in mind is, you know, be careful of that false sense of security of who you're speaking to, because the fraudsters are aware that if you're seeing or talking or being contacted by, let's say, your financial institution, or, you know, we mentioned Amazon and Apple, if you're being contacted by someone purporting to be with them, you're going to have a little bit additional, you're going to give them a little bit of credibility because you're familiar with it. Maybe you're a customer of theirs, you're familiar with the products, maybe you do use them. So you may not be as apprehensive, but the way that the fraudsters are working is that they're coming at you with, you know, all of the good stuff. They're coming at you with websites that look legitimate. They might have a logo. The verbiage on it may be very similar, but the actual website address is not affiliated with that organization. Those phone calls, they can sound very professional. At times, they'll even transfer you to other individuals in, you know, those organizations. In reality, they might just be a group of scammers that are working together and doing this day in and day out, reaching out to different potential victims. So we're seeing a lot of the same scams, but just through those channels. And, you know, technology, it's always advancing. So even though you feel familiar, comfortable with navigating it, it's always important to know that there's always another step, that someone's ahead, or someone's advancing it. And it might be not something that you're familiar with. So it's always good to take a step back before reacting with that confidence.
Yeah, I was going to say too, the fraudsters are becoming much more efficient, right? So where, again, if it was, you know, individual phone calls and you have 100 people making calls, it's one way to potentially interact with people you're trying to scam out of money, but sending text messages, emails, links, driving them to websites, they're able to have an opportunity to potentially interact with a much larger group of people, creating more opportunity for them. And then the fact that the transactions are so much easier and more convenient, again, awesome from the consumer standpoint, but also something where if you have a, you know, that lapse of judgment for even 10 seconds, you can put yourself in a really bad situation where before you had to really kind of, it might've taken a couple minutes. And at that point you might've caught on to it being a scam. They make it so easy now. I feel like that's where a lot of people get burned. That's what we see in the branches, I will say anyway, is people know they got scammed right after they submit their information or they submit the payment. But it happens so quickly, they just don't have a second to kind of realize what they're doing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've seen those, and it's definitely one of those things where you regret it just a second after everything yeah. happens, right? I will say that another thing to keep in mind is, or that we're seeing as far as common characteristics, is that a lot of these situations tend to have a sense of urgency. Where you need to act right away, which takes away that ability to pause, as you said, even for 5 seconds to say, you know, is this normal? Does this sound right? Would this normally be something that I'm asked for or that they would reach out to me about? Whenever you have that sense of urgency, give yourself that moment to pause and ask questions. And if you can't make sense of it, then absolutely I recommend and encourage to just pause until you feel comfortable or can verify what it is. We also see that a lot of these instances involve being instructed to be secretive, to not be honest about what the purpose of the transaction is. And remember, if you ever have to hide the true purpose of what you're doing, whether it's providing account information or getting a refund, then something is off. And so that's another common trait that we're seeing. Many times our members are up to perfectly normal transactions or requests, but it's whenever there's that urgency or that secrecy, I would always recommend just taking a pause.
Yeah. And you know, a lot of this that happens, it's nothing new. It's a new version of the same scam or issue that's been happening since the dawn of time. You know, ever since there's been commerce, there's been counterfeit goods. Ever since, you know, there's been written communication, there's been romance scams of people trying to swindle somebody out of money by writing letters instead of emails, texts, phone calls, things like that. You know, it goes on and on. But the, you know, the difference is the technology and the means of deception have accelerated and become so much more advanced that it goes so much quicker. And it's that much harder for that moment of pause and critical thinking for somebody to say, you know, hey, something's off here, for that to become that much more obvious. And it's funny that you bring up the moment of clarity after it occurs, because that experience that the scammers have created, it's created that intentional workflow of it moving along at a rapid pace and you not having a lot of opportunity to question it or ask questions. And, you know, it's all very scripted. So you're giving them specifically what they need in the most quick, efficient, and easy way possible. But where a legitimate company, they're concerned about your experience post conversation, post transaction, things like that. For the scammers, once they have the money, they don't care what happens to you. The veil of secrecy is off. They're like, okay, you know, because that's why it becomes obvious. There's no, you know, post-interaction customer service, if you will, in the scam world. Not trying to give them any ideas, but that's why it becomes so obvious, is like that curated experience has kind of, they don't care what happens at that point. So, you know, anything could happen. But the thought that goes into that is very intentional. The systems and the tools that they're using are well thought out, and to use technology to their advantages or to their advantage, because you've even heard, I mean, the second there's a new technology out there, the scammers and the fraudsters are trying to figure out a way to use it to their advantage. And we've heard so much of that already with AI. You know, that's a huge scary factor where they're using AI generated voice conversations that can be done on the fly, or even, you know, AI generated video to scam people out of things where they think it's, you know, a celebrity endorsement, or even, you know, sometimes even their family members. You know, they can scrape somebody they know's voice off of content on social media and use that to their advantage. So it really is getting more and more difficult to figure out, you know, what is a scam. But that is something that, you know, the best thing to do is understand what scammers are out there and try to figure out a way to have a moment to stop and think and evaluate And I mean, most legitimate organizations, they're not going to give you a hard time if you say, hold on, I need to verify this on my own, right? Like, Veronica, you're never going to tell the person, no, I need your information right now. There's no way you can call me back. I'm not going to give you my callback number. You know, any legitimate organization is going to be like, yes, of course. That makes sense, right?
Absolutely. And I can tell you, and I'm so proud. I will say that I am so proud when members are going, you're calling from where? And how do I know it's you? And I go, that is a fantastic question. Go ahead and verify on our official website or on your mobile application, our best contact. Go ahead and call in and you can ask to speak with me and they'll get you right over to me. And we encourage that. We certainly don't push back. In fact, we encourage those safe habits, those secure habits.
Yeah, it's all about helping cultivate that behavior.
Are there, so another question for you, Veronica, are there any like, red flags that stand out to you that the listeners should be aware of, right? We've talked about obviously knowing who you're dealing with. If someone's, you know, very willing to give you money, they just need some information. Like, is there any red flags or advice that you'd give to the listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you gave a great example at the very top of the podcast, which was you were contacted about a grant that you never applied for. If it's too good to be true, and you didn't ask for it, you haven't looked into it, there's been nothing, but you're being contacted because maybe you've won a prize or you've won a grant or they've mysteriously found an account in your name and they would like to send you the proceeds, you know, of that account. There's usually channels that goes through. They go through formal channels to make sure that they can reach out to you. It's normally not a phone call or a text message or an email. Usually it's something in correspondence or something that you can verify. I can also say that a lot of times, as soon as you start getting asked for personal information, and what I mean by that is if you're asked for a social security number, full social security number, if you're asked for full account information, if you're asked for your card information or your online banking credentials, these are things that, one, normally are not part of performing a transaction. And two, it's something that you want to keep really, really close to you and not share with others, especially if they're not really who they say they are. Just like they are trying to be helpful, you know, they're always trying to be very helpful and make it as easy and quick as possible. But you want to be weary of that as well. Usually you need to verify things, confirm information, like I said, go through different channels and not just a random phone call that you were not expecting. Definitely, if, as I mentioned earlier, if you're being instructed to be secretive of the true purpose of a transaction, whether it's sending a wire or returning funds that you accidentally received, that is a big red flag. Normally, if you are going to be receiving a refund, you know, we get those checks in the mail. Normally, we know where it's coming from and an explanation to it and a way to verify it. And if we're sending wires, it's important to understand why scammers may want to send it through those channels, just because, you know, the ability to recover, you know, isn't there, unfortunately, through that. So, of course, they are going to want to direct you through those channels because it's the fastest way to send things out. I also think that if you do have a moment where you can kind of catch one of those warning signs or it's too good to be true or they're starting to ask you for sensitive information, consider that a lot of the institutions already have that information. If you're a customer, they have your phone number. They may have your address. They don't need you to provide it. And that might be them just collecting information on you. So you may inadvertently be giving them, you know, all the data they need to try and try another scam and sound even more convincing because you're providing it. So always be cautious about that as well.
Well, I am now severely disappointed with the realization that I may not have won the Mexican National Lottery like that caller said I did. And my check for 2 million pesos is not in the mail. But I guess you got to be in it to win it, right? I guess I didn't play the lottery there, so that's an unreasonable expectation. But, you know, I do want us to pivot real quick just to talk about, you know, so much of our lives are online right now, right? I mean, our financial lives, our social media, so much of our information is out there. And unfortunately, that's the reality if you just want to participate in social media. But, you know, can you share some effective strategies for strengthening our presence and our information online with so much of it out there?
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, we want to share those, you know, really memorable moments with our friends and our family. That's why we have those type of platforms online through social media and then also online. Usually whenever you want to sign up for a particular service, it requires you to enter some information, but you want to be sensitive with what you include or what you put out there. Certainly if you have the ability, you know, everyone has the ability to make their profiles or information private. When you sign up for new programs or vendors, anything along those lines, you have the option to opt out of your information being shared. That's another great way, you know, something that might take a few more moments, but would be worthy of looking into, especially because, you know, it's a new company that maybe you're affiliating or signing up for, and you don't really know what their practices are. So the best thing that you can do is make sure that you keep your information personal and opt out of sharing if possible. As far as security goes, I would say that changing or maintaining good credentials, good username and passwords is imperative. You know, make sure that you're not using them across the board in different accounts exactly the same. You want to make sure that they're not easy. You know, I could use my pet's name, but you know, that's going to be a little obvious because I talk about them all the time, right? So don't make it things like your email or your name, things that could easily be guessed. You know, it's by doing that, by making them more complex, having different characters and numbers, capital letters, lowercase, it will make it that much harder for someone else to guess. And then take the opportunity to change it every few months too. It's not just about having a one-time strong password. It's about changing it because, you know, we log in from different devices all the time and you want to make sure that it's consistently changing. No one can guess it. Or if one gets compromised, it doesn't start to carry over into multiple platforms. If you, you know, as far as devices, if you are downloading sensitive data or documents, I'm thinking statements, bank statements, right? Make sure that you're storing those in secure folders or in password encrypted flash drives. Be proactive, install different antivirus or malware protection. It's always good. This is my motto in life. If you can proactively try and, you know, keep it from happening, then it'll save you that much grief, you know, if it were to ever happen, or at least limit the damage that may happen.
Is adding a multi-factor or two-factor resources a good way to protect your accounts?
Absolutely, Grant. Absolutely. Not only is it a way for you to confirm if anyone ever tries to log into an account in your name or you're with your information, you'll receive that and you'll know, hey, I didn't ask for this. But also it'll give you that additional level of security. If for some reason your credentials are able to be guessed, you still won't be able to go through without that additional verification. Now, remember that verification is almost like the keys to your home. And we don't want to just hand that out to just anyone. So make sure to keep that to yourself. I can tell you that here at Affinity, we certainly don't ask for those codes. So the only person that should be seeing it are your eyes.
I will add a helpful tip to our friends listening due to an experience that I had. If you do have an authenticator app on your phone, it is such a secure platform that if you change phones and forget to transition those codes and authorizations to a new phone, you might be in a little bit of a pickle. So if you change phones, remember to transfer your authenticator app and all of those accounts, because otherwise you might not be able to get into them anymore.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's so funny you said that. I just got a new phone myself, Grant, a couple weeks ago. And
you're welcome, Sean.
Went through similar situations. So yeah, good, very, very good point. If I'm someone that just received the text message, got the phone call, I gave them my information, again, I realize, I should not have done that. What would you recommend be, what's the first step that individual should take?
Well, I would say if it's that, you know, light above that has turned on and you're going, wait a second, this isn't right, this isn't normal, then stop the communication with that individual. Let's say you've inadvertently given them your username and password and possibly the verification code. make sure that you disconnect. And if you have the ability to go into your online banking, go ahead and reset your password as soon as possible. That way they won't have the correct information. If you have the, if you've unfortunately given up remote access, maybe you want to unplug the device altogether. That way they cease to have access to the device. Sometimes that might require you to turn off your Wi-Fi, but you know, that will at least pause their access of the accounts by changing your password, disconnecting any device that they're connected to. That would at least pause it for a moment, and then absolutely reach out to your financial institution or that merchant right away, because, you know, a lot of our sensitive information sometimes is stored on different platforms, Amazon being an example, right? You want to make sure that you get that secured, and then you reach out to be able to secure everything as quickly as possible. One other option we have, I know that Affinity offers the ability to freeze your card. If it's something that you've provided, let's say your card information, you can actually place a temporary lock on your card to not allow anything to go through while you're reaching out to your financial institution. And those are just a few little things that in the moment, once you talk to someone, then we can always go over the next steps to best secure your accounts and your personal information.
A lot of it too is preventing, right? Like we've talked about. So definitely awesome steps. You know, you realize you've been scammed, you've given information to a fraudster. You know, those are the steps to take. But is there anything Affinity does or the credit union industry as a whole to protect our membership and be proactive to educate them on potential scams or what's coming up, what we're seeing, so that they don't end up in that situation?
Absolutely. And, you know, I know, Sean, your team is so involved in this grant. Same thing. We are out there. We are on the ground talking to our community. I like to say that we're screaming it from the rooftops, but really it's polite educational webinars on a monthly basis. You know, we have great Fraud Fridays that are sent out for that exact reason. I can't stress enough just how much just knowing about the type of scams that are out there are helpful in preventing from becoming a victim. Really just knowing about it. And maybe you won't catch all of the red flags, but all it takes is just one thing, and that will be able to make you pause. So yeah, we're out there. We try and put banners if we're seeing any sort of trends on our website to inform our membership. So you may have seen some of those as we see things come up, we'll blast those out for the membership. Fraud Fridays always include something interesting that's coming up during the holidays. I know that there were quite a few that were really helpful, especially since we're doing more transactions during that period of time. We do the webinars, and you know, we're going to be out there. We're going to be talking to everyone. And the great thing is that our frontline staff is also going through it. They are constantly being updated on the latest fraud trends, right? So even if you're not able to take a look at the website or read that article, if you step in, our staff is so helpful and so friendly, and they'll tell you, we see it every which way, and they'll tell you what the red flags are. That's what sets us apart, I think, because we look at each member as a person that we want to help and not just a transaction. And that really does set us aside. Those are invaluable when it comes to, you know, really helping prevent someone from becoming a victim.
As my fellow millennials and 90s kids would know from the G.I. Joe cartoons, knowing is half the battle. So it's really good to just stay informed, understand what's going on, and just be on the lookout. I mean, that's really how you're going to best protect yourself. And we're here trying to help you along. We're trying to help give you that information and make it as easily accessible and available as possible, because there's a lot out there. So knowing where to find legitimate, credible information can always be a challenge. All right. It's about time for our member mailbag segment. And a reminder to all of you folks out there, if you have a question or comment for our member mailbag segment, you can send it to us at Affinity FCU on Facebook or X/Twitter with the hashtag member mailbag. All right. So today's writer puts in, let's see here. I'm in my late 20s and I have just started to seriously think about my financial future. I've managed to save up a bit of an emergency fund, but beyond that, I'm not sure where to focus my financial efforts. Should I prioritize paying off my student loans, investing in a retirement account, or perhaps saving for a down payment on a house? I feel stretched thin thinking about all of these options and don't want to make a mistake that I'll regret later. It's a great question. All right. So who wants to jump on this one first?
I can say, again, when we get these questions, a lot of them are, it's going to take more information, right, to give a really specific answer or advice back. But I'll say this, the fact that this person's even asking this question makes me feel like they're in a good place, right? To talk about in your late 20s, you're thinking about your financial future, you've saved up an emergency fund, you're trying to prioritize, or you're thinking about prioritizing paying off loans, investing in a retirement account. There's so many good paths to take in this question. I would say, again, looking at it very high level, a blend of all of the things is probably the best way to go about it, right? Obviously you're going to want to look at investing money. Does your employer match your 401k? If they have a 401k match, that's free money, right? I'm very big on, if your employer matches, you should take full advantage of that. Obviously paying down debt is going to be crucial in the future, but you know, what are the interest rates on those loans, right? Are they lower interest rates? Do you have some higher interest rate debt you could pay off? It really will come down to just sitting down and figuring out the numbers, right? What makes the most financial sense to you in this situation. But again, I'll say the fact that this person's even asking this question or thinking about these things is a win right there. I feel like you really can't go wrong with what was laid out.
Yeah. You know, without knowing what's important to them, it's tough to make this call. I mean, they mentioned that they have a bit of an emergency fund. Is it enough though? I mean, that could be the answer right there, is they need to continue to build that up. My next question for them would be, are your student loans a burden? You know, is it a high interest rate enough that it's impacting your budget, impacting your ability to put money away towards retirement or saving for that down payment on a house? If so, then yeah, maybe that is the right route to go. Alternatively, when we're thinking about a retirement account, Sean, to your point, is that retirement account a 401k? Is it through their employer, or are they looking to like open up an IRA, an individual retirement account, through like an investment platform? That's an important thing to consider, because when we're going on to that next step of talking about a down payment for a house, you can potentially borrow from that retirement account for that down payment. So it could kind of serve multi-purpose. But then again, when we're looking at the house down payment, how soon are they looking to buy? Because if that's an immediate need, then that all of a sudden jumps to the top of the list. So it really is what's important to them, what their timeline looks like for all of these things. Really could be any answer. It's just really what's important to them, what matters, what their timeline is for all of these things.
Yeah, great suggestions from both of you. I'll only add that I think you are both right in prioritizing what's the most important thing. Really sometimes will help you set down a plan. And once you have a plan of attack, things start to feel less overwhelming. So sometimes just having a conversation, putting that down pencil to paper, will really help out in the long run at helping you achieve all of those goals, but in the order that would best suit you to be able to maximize each one.
Absolutely. And I think we know some people that can help them put together that plan, right, Sean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. A lot of people, over the phone and in the branch, that would love to have that conversation. It really is. I know I've talked about it on previous podcast episodes, but it really is exciting when you can sit down with someone, really dig into their financial situation, whether it's good or it's rough right now, right? It's amazing to tell someone, hey, you're on the right track. You're doing all the right things. Keep pushing forward. You're in a great spot. It's also very rewarding when you sit down with someone, you realize that there's holes in their plan and in their budget, and you can plug some of those holes and give some advice and get them back on the right track. And then, you know, meet with them again 3 months, 6 months, a year later, and see how everything has really turned around for them. So both very rewarding conversations, and again, love to have them.
Excellent. Thank you both for that feedback. And I hope that was helpful to our listener. All right, next up, we have our product spotlight, and today's product is not really a product, but in theme with what we're talking about today, it's our fraud prevention hub. So here at Affinity, we're committed to protecting our members and their financial information. Our fraud prevention team has crafted tips and advice to help you identify and avoid the latest fraud and scams. Most people don't realize that they become a victim of a scam or identity theft until it's too late, but typically the sooner you catch it, the easier it is to resolve. Frequent monitoring of your accounts and credit can alert you to an issue early on, and utilizing other proactive preventive measures can also keep you safe. If you suspect you're a victim of fraud or identity theft, reach out to us at 1-800-325-0808 to speak to our member support specialists immediately so we can help protect your assets and information. You can find more about our fraud prevention hub at affinityfcu.com and go to the tools and resources section under the well-being tab. All right. So I think we came up with a whole slew of great information and details for our listeners today to, you know, understand what's out there, what the scams and the fraud is that they need to be on the lookout for, some tips on how to prevent it and identify it and protect themselves and how to fix it. You know, I think all stuff that's really applicable and really supportive of having a healthy financial well-being and healthy financial future. Veronica, I'll pass it over to you to kind of give your final takeaways and thoughts before we wrap this up.
I think my biggest thing will be to share the information you learned today. And when you read about something or you hear about something, you know, maybe on the radio on the way to work, or maybe it pops up on the articles for the day, or maybe you look at our website and take a look at the Fraud Prevention Hub, you know, and you find something and you're going, wow, I never realized that was a scam that's happening. Share that information when you're at the dinner table and conversation is not that thriving. Throw it in there. You'd be surprised to hear, you know, as we said at the top of the podcast, you usually know someone that's been affected by this, if not yourself. And so sharing is the best way to defend yourself against falling victim to a scam. So sharing is caring.
Excellent. Appreciate that. Sean, what are your final thoughts?
Yeah, I just think with anything, trust is key, right? So having those trusted advisors, those relationships that you have full faith in, are always going to be important. And I will say this, it's across the board for any organization or any company that you work with or deal with on a daily basis. But I will speak from Affinity's standpoint, have that person in the branch that you know, you have a relationship with, that you can call at any time, right? That you can stop in and go see Grant and have that conversation. He already knows the background. He knows the history. It's nice to have that person to be able to reach out to when you potentially are questioning any actions you might take, or you feel like you have been scammed. It's a nice feeling to have someone that you know you can trust and is in your corner to help you through the situation. I recommend that constantly to our membership, even if you're not going into the branches on a daily basis to transact. You might transact digitally, which is absolutely okay. Having that person in your community that you can go sit down with or speak to over the phone that you've dealt with in the past is always going to be nice to have in your back pocket during these situations.
Absolutely. We are a safe space to help you, you know, anytime you have a concern. Nobody's going to ridicule you or criticize you for something that you think is off or you need help with. We're truly here to help and be judgment free because we want you to thrive in your financial life. That's what we're here for. That's why we're cooperative. That's why we support our members. So, you know, never feel ashamed. If something feels off, if you have any questions, never hesitate to reach out to us because, you know, if something seems off, there's a good chance that it is. And, you know, you aren't going to know unless you take that moment to pause and really think it through. And it always helps to have somebody put a second set of eyes on it. So we're here for you and always use that us as a resource, as well as all the other resources we have on our website. We have webinars, we have our Fraud Fridays content, we have our Enrich platform where you can get education. Tons and tons of fraud awareness and prevention information is out there. So don't hesitate to take advantage of that. And like Veronica said, bring it to the dinner table and share with your friends and family. So once again, thank you all for listening today. Sean, thanks again for being my wonderful co-host. Veronica, appreciate you coming on today again and dropping all that wisdom on our wombats. It was truly a good actionable bunch of feedback that you gave for us. So we always appreciate you coming on. And hopefully we'll have you back on again in the future.
Happy to be here and looking forward to next time.
All right. Excellent. Well, as always, a reminder that if you have a question or comment for a future member mailbag segment, you can send it to us at AffinityFCU on Facebook or X/Twitter with the hashtag member mailbag. And then always, we appreciate if you rate, like, and subscribe for more well-being and your wallet podcast. You can visit AffinityFCU for additional information about financial well-being and Affinity products. And as always, thanks for listening and be well.